James, the third chapter. Now it says this, not many of you should become teachers, my brother, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships. And they, though they are so large, are driven by strong winds. They are guided with a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among many of our members, stain the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed by mankind. But just circle this. No human can tame the tongue. Can I have an amen on that? No human can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And from the same mouth, blessing and cursing, my brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, and a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Father, we just ask this morning for your grace. We thank you for a release. We thank you for a breakthrough. And Lord, we thank you also, Lord God, for the calming of your spirit in troublesome times, Lord God. We give you all of the praise this morning, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, usually we would spend a lot of time talking about what we shouldn't say. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to talk about something that's on the flip side of that. How many of you would like to maximize and harness the potential of the power of God in your life and eliminate half of your enemies that you struggle with every day? Harness and maximize the power of God in your life, and at the same time, eliminate half of the onslaughts of the enemy. I would say this. You can simply do this by learning how to be quiet. Half of the problems that I have with the devil usually has to do with the rudder of my mouth that has directed me into a certain situation or position where I've got to go back. Well, some people say this, well, it was right, it was true. Well, if it's true that you said that, okay, if it is true, then your attitude really stunk. So you got to go back and at least repent of that part. The other side of the truth is my part in what I say. Right now in our society, there is so much clamor and there is so much clutter. How many know it's easy to become opinionated? In an age of technology and knowledge, we know a lot of stuff. And some people just want to talk about what they know all the time. Every single one of us have an opinion. Just ask. Every one of us have a perspective. Sometimes, and I believe this, every single one of us, there is a time to talk. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, says, there is a time to speak up. And I do believe as Christians that we have got to speak up against injustice. But even more than that, we've got to shine the light of Christ in every situation. And God works with our mouth. But I see in Scripture that the most powerful people in the Bible, they were powerful not just because of what they said, but they were powerful because they knew how to refrain from speaking. How to not speak. The Bible says this, that no man, now this should give us hope and faith. No man can tame the tongue. As soon as you think you can, you can't. No man can tame the tongue any more than any man can save himself. Right? But what we can do, the Bible says that a large horse, it said that he is broke, not like crushing or destroying, but he is yielded and harnessed with his full potential by a bit in his mouth. And so listen, I can put a bit in my mouth. I can put a bridle in my mouth and I can give the reins to the Lord and I can say, Lord, help me with my tongue. I know that is a work of the Holy Ghost. Not to say something, but to not say something. The most powerful, potent prophets in the Bible, we know them for what they say. Amen? But God knew them and could qualify them and use them, not because of what they said, but because of what they would not say. I love Ezekiel, the UFOs, wheels among wheels, and lights and creatures coming out of the flying saucer, all that. I love the manifestations that the prophet Ezekiel saw. And when Ezekiel spoke, he understood the power of his words to change things. In Ezekiel's life, he shut his mouth for 12 years and didn't speak. 12 years of silence. But when he spoke, the most powerful people in the world are not the people that just simply know the most or can say the most or are the most eloquent. They are the people that hold their tongue for the right reason at the right time by the Holy Ghost to say the right thing. And all of heaven's grace and power is backed up with that. The most powerful people I know say the least. The most powerful people I know say the least. But when they speak, I watch Billy Epperhart. And everybody will be talking about all this stuff. And I'll just say to him, I'm like, Billy, why don't you say something? Interject. Intervene. You know more than they do. Put a cherry on top of what they're... Do something. And he'll just sit there and listen. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Love is the greatest thing. Wisdom is just as much about not saying something as saying something. We think wisdom is words. Sometimes wisdom is just sitting back and discerning the Spirit. And when I speak, having something that's salted with grace, full of wisdom, to intervene and intercede. When Chuck would take me places, there was one rule when I traveled with Chuck and we walked into a room. He would say, big boy, don't say nothing. Because he had been in the car with me for 6 hours, and I was a chihuahua. Yaggity, yaggity, yaggity. What about this? He said, okay, get all that out of your system, because where we're going, we don't need to hear you. Like, I'm tired of hearing you at this point. Don't interject yourself and start asking a bunch of questions. Sit back and listen. And you know what? That was hard for me. When I got born again, how many, your mind is being renewed, right? Your mind is being renewed. Your heart is changed instantly. You're a new creature in Christ. The moment you get born again, you're a new creature in Christ. The moment you get born again, you're changed, but your mind is being renewed. And I got used to speaking my mind. Let's just weigh this out. I'm going to speak his heart before I speak my mind. Because there's two voices. Jesus himself... In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it says he was led as a lamb before his shears, as a lamb to the slaughter. It said, Jesus opened not his mouth. How many, if you were Jesus, you'd have something to say. I mean, I'd have a lot to say. These hypocrites and these people and my followers are misunderstanding me. I would feel like I would have to preach a 6-week revival to get off my chest. But it said that Jesus did not open his mouth. I was talking to Melanie about this the other day, and she said, yeah, but if he was to open his mouth, people could die or people could live. It could create or it could destroy. It's Jesus. He said the same thing about you. Yeah, but that's Jesus. No, as Christ is, so are we on this earth. As Christ is. And so, rather than trying to figure out what to say all the time, I need to sometimes just be still and say, Lord, what's your heart in the matter? They march around Jericho for 7 days. And we talk about the shout. And when they shouted at the right time, it says that the walls were flattened. But the 7 days of being quiet was just as important as the day of the shout. People who shout all the time don't have any power whatsoever. And people that never say anything don't have power whatsoever. And so there's this wrestle, there's this equity, there's this balance to carrying the heart of God and having our mind renewed. It says this in Scripture. It says that God's word is sharp and it is powerful as a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, your thoughts and the intents of your heart. You can just do that. Don't do that to your neighbor, but do that to yourself. There's two things talking to you right now. James, the first chapter says, remember this, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And so when I'm mad, that's when I need to shut up. Can I say that? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. And I might even be justified in being mad, but I understand that my words are going to set course. I have a can of gasoline in one hand, I have a can of water in the other hand, and I can throw fire on it or gas on it and ignite the fire and be right, but not righteous. Yeah. Or I can let streams of living water flow from me at the right moment and the right time. Sometimes it's hard when people process out loud. Anybody got a friend that the way that they think is they speak. They talk through it. I'm not looking at you, Melanie. I didn't say that. Now, it's not fun to pick on Lori because she's not here today. You're gonna... Some of us, we process. We think out loud. But when those words are out there, sometimes you can't get them back. Some people speak before they think. Some people speak while they think. Some people speak after they think. That's where I want to be. I want to be able to process, okay, what are they saying? What is God saying? Because when I speak, I am communicating, listen, something from the heart. Jesus said it like this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to say this, every single one of you that are born again, you got a new heart. I'm not saying, you got to fix your heart. No, God fixed your heart on the cross. You couldn't fix your heart. And the reality is if you can't fix your heart, then out of the abundance of the heart, only God can fix my mouth. The first problem in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, he has a manifestation of God. Isaiah sees angels and cherubim singing, holy, holy, holy. He sees the Lord on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And the first thing out of his mouth is, woe unto me. He said, my number one problem is my mouth. I'm seeing the majesty of God. He said, woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips that dwells amongst a bunch of people with unclean lips. He said, most of what we say is insufficient and irrelevant to what I'm seeing right now. And it said, so the angel, this is grace, the angel picks up a coal and goes and touches his lips and says, your iniquity's gone. I want to say this, the angel of the Lord, which is looking out for you, and Jesus Christ himself has the ability to supernaturally cleanse our lips. So there's two forces that are speaking in our head and in our mind all the time. It is the intents of the heart. Have you ever said something and then had to go back and say, I didn't mean it like that? Your mouth came up with something that did not reflect what you were trying to say, your heart. That's all of us. That's why God gave us two big ears, mine especially, two big eyes, Melanie's especially, and a tongue that is locked behind ivory bars for a specific reason. Our heart is a strange thing. I want to go ahead and there's a medical study of heart transplants. A medical study of heart transplants. Now, I always thought the heart, the cardia, was just an organ. And then there's a spiritual heart, which is something else. How many know all of these are kind of intertwined? Now put on your tinfoil hat this morning. Listen to this. A 52-year-old man who loved classical music got a heart transplant by a 16-year-old and immediately after the transplant began to crave to listen to hard rock. His whole life was in classical music until he gets a 16-year-old's heart and he wants Metallica, just saying. A man received a heart from a woman that was hit by the train and immediately after the transplant began to have nightmares every night of a train wreck. Now understand, most of these found out afterwards what was happening to them. A young boy received the heart of a man that had passed away in his 30s. And when he woke up from the heart surgery, his mom says, "How are you doing?" And he says, "Everything's copacetic." He had never even heard that word before, never said that word before. But lo and behold, found out that the married couple whose husband had passed away, that was always their catchphrase when everything was okay. A little girl gets a heart transplant of a murdered child. And after the heart transplant, she starts having dreams of being attacked. So vivid that she can see the face of her attacker night after night. She goes to her doctor. The doctor communicates that the heart had been transplanted from a murdered child, who goes to the police, and they give such a vivid reclamation of the attacker that they were able to arrest him and put him in prison. Now I'm speaking to a bunch of people that has the heart of God, a heart for God, a new created heart from God. And our heart, just like these hearts, were made to be transplanted into other people and leave an imprint of the life of God inside of them supernaturally. Every single one of us are designed to carry that. And so when I sit back in silence sometimes and you get your mind together, when there's a lot of things to say, I think God wants us to weigh our words in this season. This is for me, but this is for us, because our words are so powerful. If we have said things, we put things out in the atmosphere, we've watered down the wine of the Spirit, we've contaminated the fruit of the Spirit with other words. Can I just do a prophetic act this morning? I just want to shut down and throw down and destroy every negative word, every opinion, everything that would exalt itself above what God would have to say to people. I break that off. And you might have to call somebody and say, "I'm sorry. I did not reflect the heart of God in this matter." There's a few things that we can do, I believe, to bridle our tongue, to be still and know that He's God. There's so much clamor and there's so many opinions, and I want to carry the heart of God right now, because I believe harnessing the power of God is locked up in it and eliminating the enemy. I think sometimes the enemy has so much power. He doesn't have power except that which we yield to him. We have so much authority, but we yield it to him when we give our words inaccurately or without the heart of God. Here's just a few things that I believe that we can do in harnessing our mouth. I think the first thing we got to do is pause. Just don't be quick to speak. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. Whenever I see something, injustice or something's going on, I always want to intervene real quick. But I find if I just quiet my soul, keep my mouth shut. Proverbs says, even a fool is thought to be wise if he says nothing. That's what Proverbs says. It also says in Proverbs that by many words, there's many troubles. And I think I found that the older I get, I am a major work in progress. God help me. The older I get, the less I have to say. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to say things, but you see what's on the other side of if you did say it. Like when I first got born again, my heart got born again, but I still had a cusser. And there were certain words that could only communicate what I was feeling in the moment, and those were those words. And so this would happen. I would say those words. It's out in the atmosphere. Dan just dropped something. And then I'd walk away and my heart would condemn me because my words of my unregenerated mind had let something out. And then I found out, so I would repent quickly. I'd repent to the person. I'd repent. But little by little, I found that all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would give me key indicators before those triggers happened, before I had the opportunity to say. And then I had a choice. And so little by little, I'll say this, I lost my cusser. Like the guy who, they were having a revival and drunks started throwing beer bottles over a wall. And one of the beer bottles hit the one evangelist in the head, and the one evangelist let out a cuss word. Beer bottle hits the other evangelist in the head, and he praises Jesus. And he said, I'm so sorry. I cussed a minute ago. He said, it just, when that bottle hit me, it was just in me. And the other evangelist said, yeah, I know, he knocked the praise right out of me. It's what's in you. It's what you're filling your life with is what's going to come out. I want to be filled to overflowing with the goodness of God, so I've got to just take a break. I got to pause. And then the second thing I got to do is I got to ponder. Ponder. I need to think about it. I'm about to say something. I'm about to say something. And sometimes if it's right, not to put too much pressure on us, but I pray, God, Lord, make me a wordsmith. If my tongue is a sword, I want to be a wordsmith. I want to be able to accurately communicate the essence of what you're saying so that I'm not misunderstood and you're not misrepresented in the process. So Lord, salt my words with life. And the reality is go back to the heart. My head's speaking one thing. The heart is speaking something different. And so rather than go off in my head, I got to say, okay, Lord, what is the heart of God in this? I'm going to think about this. What's the heart of God in what you want me to communicate in this situation? Sometimes, how many of you know, you can't say anything because it's not going to fix nothing. They're not looking for reconciliation. They're not looking for an answer. They're looking to vent. And they're looking for agreement. And so in those situations, understand this. You just got to hold your peace. As the old song says, hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battles. I'll say this. He does it better than we do. Can we say that? There's been times where I was about to grab that dog by the ears. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because the Lord supernaturally took care of it in a way that I never dreamed possible. So I pause, I ponder, and then I pray. Nehemiah was really good about this. The king would go up to him, ask him a question. And it literally depicts in the book of Nehemiah the prayers in his head before he answered, because the king's speaking to me. He thinks I got a bad attitude. I'm grieved over the walls of Jerusalem being torn down. And so it shows Nehemiah over and over again. He's addressed with something that's critical to his life, critical to his nation. It says that he pauses, he ponders, he prays, and then God gives him the words. Supernatural words. I believe in word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I believe in prophecy. But I think one of the greatest words of wisdom that we could ever operate in is when we pause, ponder, pray, and God begins to help us to have the right words for that specific situation. Well, what are some of the benefits of it as well? Powerful people understand they say less because their words hold more power. I'm speaking to a group of leaders in here. If you're a father in the house, your words hold power. Be careful what you say. Mothers, your words hold. If you own a business, your words hold power. Authority and words go together, so you just don't scatter them like a sawed-off shotgun. It's got to be a high-powered rifle that hits the target. Benefits of speaking less is also people feel safe with people that listen. There'd be times where Melanie would have to get certain things off of her heart or dream, and I would feel like I had to respond. I would feel like as a man, I have to fix something. And she gave me permission just to listen. She said, I'm just talking. That's communication. I would say the 73% of communication is nonverbal. People feel safe. This church, I want our spiritual family to be a safe place for people. And it won't be just by sharing what we know. It's by having a hearing heart, willing to listen to hurting people. Because sometimes people do things and they don't even know why they do it. But to have an open door and an open heart and say, yeah, I'm a safe place. I've known how to listen to God, therefore, I'm willing to listen to you. Another is, I'm going to say this. I was taught this and it's true. One benefit, now this might not seem spiritual, but it very much is. One benefit of having a heart to listen and not talk so much is it is powerful in negotiation. Some of you are looking at me in that tone of voice. Listen to this. When negotiating, we usually think it's two people going back and forth. I have a lawyer friend by the name of Bill Bronchick, and he said one of the greatest tools of negotiation is not saying anything. They're going to sell you this. They're going to give the spiel. They're going to show you why you need this. And he says, I just say, is that the best you can do? And then don't say anything. And he said, how many of you are uncomfortable with empty air? Like you gotta fill the space. If somebody's not speaking, that's me. It's like awkward moment, things like that. I just feel like I've got to interject. And sometimes you get with people that don't. Anybody ever went to lunch with somebody that doesn't talk? And it's like, oh man, I gotta carry the whole conversation, you know. So that's my MO. I do talk too much, but in negotiating, to give your point and then listen. It's a benefit also because we become more aware than reactive. When I'm quiet, when I take time to listen, you know, when things are clamoring at me, I want to react. But when I sit back and take a breath and ponder and pray, what ends up happening is I get a chance to be more aware of what's actually happening. Have you ever seen somebody have a meltdown and you thought it was this, but it wasn't actually that? It was actually a bunch of other things that happened. This was just a cherry on top. And if you tried to deal with that, that was fruit. That was not the root of what they were going through. So here we are. We're trying to knock bad fruit off of trees when in reality, if I would have just sat back and listened a little bit longer and heard their heart, I would realize that this issue that they're dealing with right now really doesn't have very much to do with what's really going on in their life. And so by listening and sitting back, I also realized that, you know, hey, there was a root to this that I didn't realize, and I can address it with grace. And I'll just say this. Sometimes the less that we speak, the more creative we get. I get time to think. I get time to dream. I want God this morning for us. He's not going to make us do anything, but we can yield our mouth to Him. And I believe that, as it says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to speak, to be a voice in the wilderness, to stand up. But for me, anyway, I feel like it is very strategic with all the opinions and all the clamor and all the knowledge we got going on and all of the opinions that are going around us, that we take time to sit back and listen more to the heart, the imprint of God on our heart, and then speak out of our mouth and watch the power of God flow.